Good morning. Welcome once again to the Forgotten Word. This is Bob Wise with Forgotten Word Ministries, and continuing in our series here this week of false preachers and false teachings and how serious of a problem it is with our churches. We ended yesterday talking about how, churches have begun creating an atmosphere and an environment of fun, to where fun has now replaced holiness as a church's goal. And, scripture references encouraging churches to become havens of fun are, as you know, we mentioned, they're lacking. We don't see that in the scriptures. But nowadays they're saying that that's what church is supposed to be all about. And, as we started to get into, was talking about not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Yeah, and that's from Hebrews 10:35. It's the will of Christ that his disciples should assemble together. I believe that. Sometimes more privately for conference and prayer, and in public for hearing and joining in all the ordinances of gospel worship. There were in the apostles' times, and should be in every age, Christian assemblies for the worship of God. That's I got that little paragraph there out of one of the concordances. Worshiping God is what the church building was originally established for, a place of like-minded believers of following Jesus to gather together to worship God. I don't know when, I do not know when and even how exactly things changed. I don't know what happened. But I can tell you this, it's not the same today as it was then. I can tell you that churches today, these buildings that we call our church buildings, we're not worshiping God and showing our love to him and his holiness like we're supposed to be doing. I'll tell you, let me read you some advertisements for some churches I ran across. Here's the one that's lead pastor David blends natural humor with powerful imagery to teach the timeless principles found in scripture. Now, again, to me it's a mockery. It's a mockery when people have to continually use humor and laughter and imagery, trying to get images in your mind to get you to understand the Word of God. That's not what the Bible says we're to do. But that's this advertisement, that they're going to use powerful imagery and blend natural humor to teach the principles found in the Bible. Here's another one from the same church. If you need a lift, a laugh, or just a little something new, I encourage you to check out the energizing messages delivered each Sunday by Pastor David. Can you imagine that? If you need a lift, a laugh, or just something a little new, hey, did I miss something here? Where's, if you need the Lord, if you need your sins forgiven, if you need to have your heart changed and your life changed, that's when you check out this church. No, not these guys. If you need a lift or a laugh or just a little something new, come on, check it out, man. Energizing messages, they said. Energizing messages. That's just blasphemy. It's sickening. Here's a website. Listen to this. This website says, "Welcome to Fun at Church." That's the website. "We hope you enjoy our independent online guide to help make your church a fun place to be. A place where people want to go to fellowship with others. Our main goal..." Did you hear what I just said? "Our main goal is to share with other churchgoers our most successful activities, events, and ideas that help to make our church a fun place to be." Once again, nothing about salvation, nothing about getting your sins forgiven, nothing about a place to go to get your heart mended, but a place to go to have fun. And they devoted a whole business and a whole website to it, folks. Another guy says this is a killer here, ain't it? "I've been to so many churches I can't count them all. And the only time I ever enjoyed myself was when some people carried out a skit from the Bible, Abraham, I think it was, complete with a ton of ketchup for blood. Does anyone have fun in their church? Any ideas? Help me. Now, is that sad? He's been to all these churches. Well, of course, yeah, you know why he's been to all these churches? Because he just wants to have fun. He's looking for entertainment. What does he say here? Listen to what he said, folks. And the only time I ever enjoyed myself. Is that what you get out of bed in the morning to come here to do? Is that what they do at your church? Is that what they do at my church? I get out of bed because I want to go have some fun? The people carried out a skit from the Bible. He thinks it was Abraham. He's not even sure. Complete with a ton of ketchup for blood. Does anyone have fun in their church? Any ideas help? He's looking for a church to go have fun. It's the only time he ever enjoyed himself in a church. How sickening and how sad. Doesn't it just eat at you to know that that's what these people are looking for? That that's what they think Jesus Christ is about? Then that's what he's all about? Is a church to have fun? What's the Bible say about two different churches in Revelation? So which church was a growing church in the book of Revelation? It was the church at Laodicea, which saw itself as a rich and wealthy and in need of nothing. Or was it the church at Smyrna that was described as poor, in tribulation, and facing great persecution? And that's in Revelations 2, 8 through 11. Now God said of the Laodicean church that he would spit them out of his mouth. But of the Smyrna church, that they would receive the crown of life. The church that was had money and wealth and they needed nothing else, he'd spit them out of their mouth. But this small little church in Smyrna, he said that they would receive the crown of life because they had nothing. They were in tribulation all the time and facing great persecution. Of course they were, because they were following God. See the difference? Obviously, the growing church did not please God while the struggling one did. This, my friends, is something seriously worth pondering, isn't it? Seriously worth thinking about. Mega churches think that they have the answer because they got 40,000 or 30,000 or 2,000 or 3,000. I think a mega church in today's realm is anybody over 2,000 or 3,000 people that goes there. They're all of a sudden a mega church. What's this mega nonsense? What's this mega? Well, maybe they're churches of Laodicea and don't even realize it. That's something to think about, isn't it? I'm not saying they are. I'm not saying that at all. But the possibility could be. If they have started their church and it's grown and grown and grown and all it is a place that has a lot of fun and a lot of activities and a lot of everything but true, honest, holy worship of God, well, I got a sad review for them. Just maybe God's going to spit them out of his mouth. Maybe we need to think about what is a real church. The bottom line, listen folks, the bottom line is why individuals should repent and worship God. Why should we? Why should we even repent and worship God? Why should we come to church to worship God? I'll tell you why. Because God deserves it. God deserves it. God is a jealous God. He wants to be worshiped. He wants to be praised. And he's worthy of it. Worthy. Worthy the lamb that was slain. Hallelujah. You know, the goal of a Christian's life, listen to me, the goal of a Christian's life is faithfulness, not fulfillment. It's faithfulness. That's what the goal of your Christian life should be. Faithfulness. And if it is, where are you going to end up? I'll tell you. While you're alive here, I can tell you where you're going to end up. On Satan's most wanted list. Remember me talking about that? Because you're now doing the will of the Lord. You're doing God's will. And yeah, you're going to be persecuted, but it's worth it. It's worth it. Every time the devil fights you and you win again because of the Lord's on your side, that's joy in the Lord. Hallelujah. That's joy in the Lord. Because we can accomplish what the Lord wants us to do. Now there's a key to what I said there. Listen closely. We can accomplish what the Lord wants us to do. But the key to it is, it has to be what the Lord wants us to do, not what we want to do. We get so confused in our wants and wishes that we get confused and mixed up about who we're serving. Are we serving ourselves or are we serving God? Have we spent the last 50 years of our life trying to make as much money and buy the best houses we could get and the most cars and the most trucks and the most money in the bank and the best clothes and the best of this, the best of that? Is that what we spent the last 50 years trying to do? Was that our goal? From a human perspective, certainly it was. You hear it all the time. Work hard, you know, and then when you retire, you know, go south and have fun or do this, retire in the warm weather or do this or that, whatever. Whatever makes you happy. So you worked all your life and now you're retired and now you're living for yourself. When you look backwards, did you ever live for God? You were faithful to go to church on Sundays, but was you even faithful to do that every Sunday? A lot of people know. Not faithful every Sunday. But that's what we have to decide. It's never too late. Listen to me. It's never too late. If you're a youngster out there, of course you got time to start now. Anybody of any age, if you're 60 years old, 70 years old, or 80 years old, or 90 years old, it does not matter. It's not too late to start doing the will of God. To start dedicating your life to Christ. After all, listen to me. He's got a prize waiting for us. He's got a mansion in heaven waiting for us. It's sitting there waiting for us. And where are we at? We're down here trying to build our own little mansion. We're trying to make our own little heaven. Folks, that's not what we're supposed to be doing. So if that's where your life is, change it. If you're not living for God, if you're not living for Christ, if you're not living and every day doing the will of God, then you're living wrong. All the money in the world's not going to help you. All the houses in the world aren't going to help you. And all the cars in the world aren't going to help you. And all the bank accounts in the world aren't going to help you. Nothing is going to help you. Because why? Let me tell you why. Because maybe, just maybe, our eyes are on the wrong prize. That's very possible, isn't it? Very possible. Listen, folks, I love every one of you. I don't know all of you, but I love you in the Lord. And I want you to know that God loves you so much. He loves you so much that He gave His Son, and He willingly allowed Him to die for us. But we've got to do His will. There's a lot of bad things happening out there, a lot of horrible things, preachers preaching wrongness. You've got to wake up before it's too late. I'll see you tomorrow, folks. You know, I know sometimes it seems like I've come down hard on a lot of folks, and that's okay. That's okay. The reason I say it's okay is because I believe that's what the Lord wants. But I want to hear from you. I want to know what you think about our program. So give us an email, would you? FWM@adams.net. FWM@adams.net. God bless you.